Good morning, good morning, good morning. Pastor Landis Fisher, your host, here for the worship service for St. Timothy and Street Gate Ministries. We bless God and thank Him that you are here with us today. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. One more time, we hope you're ready to think deeply about God's Word and about His love, His mercy, and His grace. Amen. And as you know, it is our custom to go before the Lord in prayer, and so we want to do that right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just lift you up today. We bless your name today, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor, O God. We give you glory today, Father. And we thank you for being almighty and all-powerful. Lord God, we just want to bless you this morning, Father, and we thank you for blessing us. Lord God, we thank you for the activity of our limbs that we're clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you for all the provisions that you have made throughout this week, Lord God, to bring us up to this worship day, the first day in November of 2020. Lord God, and we just thank you today. We give you praise today. We give you glory today, O God, and it's in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus that we ask all this. Father, we come asking for the forgiveness of sin, that you would cleanse us, O God, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us. And we thank you that you've given your perfect Son in order to make that possible. You even raised him out the grave so we would know that the job was completely done. Hallelujah. We give praise to the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we ask today that you bless those who are sick, those who are mourning. Father, we pray for healing. We pray for just endurance, Lord, for the ones who are going through a troubled time. Lord God, we pray for mercy and for grace. And Father, above all, we pray for the lost, that they might hear about the good news today and come asking, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus, your Son. Father, we thank you for all the things that you are doing through us and for us, Lord God. And so, Father, we ask right now that you bless your word as it goes forth, that it would be an enrichment to our souls, that it will be a balm to the pains that we have been through this week. Lord God, and that by all means, Jesus, your Son, would be exalted, and therefore you would be glorified. And it's in the mighty, precious name of Jesus that we pray. And all the saints everywhere say, amen. Go ahead and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah, because he is worthy to be praised. And we just bless the Lord. He's moving us on through this challenging time that we have been going through. And we're just blessed and thankful. And I just hope that that's the case for you as well, that you understand that no matter what you're going through, the Lord said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. So it is a blessing for God to walk with us and for us to walk with him. Amen. So we're going to move on. We do have a word from the Lord today. And I want to invite you to take a look at some of the things that we've been talking about here as we bring a few things together today. We thank God for letting us be here and having made it. Now, it's been odd the way this year has gone. You all here have heard me say this throughout the year. But we're just thankful because God continues to progress our ministry, and we're waiting for more and more revelation and more blessing. We're not looking at gloom and doom. It doesn't make any difference what's going on anywhere else on the planet. We just bless God right now for all that he has done. And the scripture says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God always has a blessing in store for his people at all times. He wants to bless us at all times. Those who don't trust him, don't believe in him, those who don't understand him, he wants you to understand him better, and he has made it possible for you to do that. And he is a righteous God. That's why he gave his son, Jesus the Christ, to be crucified in order to make us free from the law of sin and death. And that's a big deal. Some people don't consider it to be a big deal. There are those today who try to justify themselves by works, and many, many people in all other so-called religions in the world, they talk about good works and all that. Some of them really don't. A lot of people just think, God's grace on the curve, it's going to be all right some kind of way. And they don't think they need to make any particular positive move in the direction of God in order for them to be saved. And so we like to dismiss all these myths that are in the world. There are plenty of them. And we go by the reality of the truth of the scripture, God's word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which is the complete revelation of Almighty God. It lacks nothing in spite of what all the critics say. And we talk about that all the time. I love to boast on God because God is awesome all by himself. And everything he has done, we don't really have to do any more than preach it. Just preach it and teach it. As he said, go and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, whoa, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we know what we're doing. We are exactly doing what God said, teaching the counsel of God. Paul said to the Ephesian elders that I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. In other words, I taught you all the word from beginning to end. And at that time in his day, the word was from the book of Genesis clear through the book of Malachi. So we talk about that quite a bit. But for today, just to get us on subject here today, I feel really good today. I'm just thanking God for his mercy and his grace and all the wonderful things that he has already done. Amen. And so we can give him praise for all of that. I know some of you are going through troubled times, and I hope today you get something from this message that will help you in that process. Because you know what? The scripture says that in the world we shall have tribulation. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the great news there is that no matter what you're going through, beloved, God says, I will be with you in trouble. David even says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God says, whatever you're going through, I'm right there with you. And he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So no matter what happens here on earth, my friends, my brothers and sisters, God said, I will be with you in trouble, and I will go with you no matter where you go, even if it's through the valley of the shadow of death. And we've seen a lot of that this year. But we want to thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and that he understands what we're going through. In the Psalms, he said, I understand your praying, because I know that you are but dust. But I have given my son in order to redeem all who trust in him and believe in him and give them everlasting life. But we're going to talk about that just a little this morning. Amen. So we hope you got your spiritual thinking cap on. We hope you're in prayer mode, that you're ready to pray and ask God to give you understanding as we step out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to step in. Amen. So the times we are living in now are times of great deception in many ways. And therefore, as warned by Jesus, we, his church, must see the world through the resurrection power of Christ and not from the limited lens of the present diminishing prosperity that we see. Now, we see some prosperities in the world. You know, people are more worried about the prosperities than they are about their account with God. We're worried more about our account in the bank than we are our account with God. We're worried quite a bit more about our account on Wall Street, should we happen to have one, or than we are about our account with God. We have people today who think that all of these other things are what's really important, and then we can slap in a little church or just a touch of Jesus or a little of some kind of faith here and there, and that will be okay. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. Because the scripture says, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But God said, my words will never pass away. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the stuff you're worried about, the stuff you're trying to hold on to, he says, I'll provide all those for you. He even said that I shall supply all you need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus, if you understand what that means. And you know what? God is not making it hard for anybody to understand. He's configured this world all around his son. Every spot on the world is configured around Jesus. Time is ticking. We had time set back an hour. I said, thank you, Lord, when that happened. Because I always like that extra hour when it comes around. But every hour belongs to God. And his son, Jesus, is in the center of it all. And so I want to take a minute today on this Lord's Day. of which we have five this month, bless his name, that to talk with you a little bit about this situation, because the world thinks that all this other stuff, prosperity, which is in this fallen world, and in the whole world, we think that's the big deal, but the big deal is not that, because I can see in the Word where folks who were, for example, the beggar who was at the rich man's gate, named Lazarus, he says that when he died, the angels took his soul into the bosom of Abraham where he was saved. You see, so it had nothing to do with his physical accomplishments or his worldly accomplishments, nor with his wealth or any power that he had nothing to do with that. It only had to do with one thing, his faith in the Almighty God who has given his Son, Jesus the Christ, to save whosoever will believe in him. So our news is the best news in the world. You know what? Economy can fail. We hope it doesn't, and pray God it won't. But the fact is, God will never fail. Doesn't make any difference what your economy looks like. God says, I'm always on the throne. We're going to talk about that just a little today, because I want you to get some understanding and some maturity in these troubled times that we're living in. It might be easy to get upset and kind of get yourself on a path of fear and anxiety. But I want you to know God says, if I am with you, I am more than the world against you, and you can keep on pressing by faith. And so that's what you and I want to understand. That's the great promise that God has given us. And so please listen with your eyes and your Bibles open today, because we're going to be talking about the goodness of King Jesus, which is my subject for today. He is the King of Kings, the Bible says, and the Lord of Lords. He is the great King. He is awesome, and we need to look at him and stop looking at all these people down here, these wannabes that are down here on earth. They're here in their necessity for the world, because God is the one who designed human government, but he didn't design it for us to worship it. He didn't design it for us to depend on it. He just told us that we're putting it there to give civil authority so that the people who are really against God won't overtake all the people who are for God. So it's for the benefit of the people who trust God, simply put. But it's also for the benefit of those who don't. And I want to explain that statement. It might sound ambiguous. You might say, preacher, that doesn't sound like it could be both ways. Well, the fact is, it is. Because you know what? If you are against God, if you don't know God, it's not God's fault. If you don't know him, it's because you have personally rejected him and turned a deaf ear on the truth of the gospel. And so you need to understand God loves you. You might be on the side of thinking you're on the side of righteousness, but you don't know Jesus, the Christ. God has one way of salvation. He is not confusing, and he is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. And he has made it point blank, black and white, clear. That's why I don't want you to miss it this morning. God has one way to be saved, and he wants it for you, whether you trust him or you don't. The fact is, he wants you to stop that unbelief, turn around and trust in the name of Jesus, his Son. That's why he centered this world on Christ, on Jesus. You might go, how is that, sir? Well, the fact is, it's been about 2,020 years since Messiah, the Prince, who came to be the Son of God, the Prince, as he is, and when he was born 2,020 years ago, according to this calendar that you and I use. You use it every day. You just don't give glory to the one who is centered around. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. No matter who you are, you can be Jew or Gentile, male or female, black or white, Hispanic or Chinese, or whatever other particular ethnic persuasion that there is. I want you to know God loves all of you. No matter who you are, no matter what nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people you come from, God says, I've given my Son, Jesus, and put him in the middle of your life so that you can trust him and receive my grace and my mercy. The alternative is we do not trust Christ, we do not believe God raised him from the dead, and we go on along trying to make it on our own without the blessing of God. But that's not God's fault, beloved. He wants you all to be saved. So if you know this already, you understand where I'm coming from. If you don't, I want to wake you up this morning before this 2020 is over and invite you to come in to the side where God has given out the greatest blessing. He's blessing you right now where you are, but he wants you to come into the fullness of his blessing. And that is when you know the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You think you're free now. We hear a lot of talk about freedom and all that. Freedom is a beautiful thing. And I think we have enjoyed more of it in this country than maybe in some other places all around the planet, maybe even in the history of time. And I want to say this, the reason that's true of this country is because it was founded on principles that were based in God's Word, but our culture as a whole here in America took God's Word and threw it out a long time ago. So this is the reason why the stuff that we see in government is not working, because we threw God out. The system cannot work without the understanding of who God is, the divine creator, who has given us these inalienable rights, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They like to talk about that, but that has to do with the divine creator. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he is the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, without whom no man will be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, or except by me. In other words, he say, I am the focal point between whether you know God or you don't. Really, what he says is he divides the world into two camps. The fact is, and I mean the world, not just anybody in particular, but everybody. Whoever you are, you're in one camp or the other. And you need to understand that, because this is what Jesus said. He wants you to be in the camp of the most righteous and the most blessed. And those who are saved, that's why he came and did all he did. And you will never be able to deny him that he didn't do everything for you more than anybody else ever did for you in the history of time, because he came and allowed himself to be stretched out on a grisly cross and be crucified and died in order to shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus, God's Son, who he had prophesied, predicted in the Word, for many, many generations, all the way from the Garden of Eden, when sin first came in God's Word, God had ordained that his Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Messiah the Prince, the Moshiach Nagi, Jesus, would come into the world right at the particular scheduled time that our calendar is divided by back in 2,020 years ago. He was born, as we talked about in last week's message. I told you that the most stable being that there is, who is Almighty God, had predicted, he had preached, he had prophesied that his Son would come. Paul looked at it this way. He said, when the fullness of time was come, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and born under the law, and he did that to deliver us from the curse of the law. So as Jesus said, I kind of went into a little tangent there, but I want to get back to what I said originally. You are in one camp or the other. There are only two sets of people on this planet. Either you trust Christ and you're saved, or you don't and you're lost. You are in one of the two categories. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me, that means you're in his body of believing people, who no matter what nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue of people you come from, he divides a whole human family into two. He who is not with me is against me. And he who is not gathering with me, in other words, helping get other people to know that I love them all, God said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. And I did it so that whosoever, that means any of you people groups around the planet, whosoever believes in him, my Son, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Then the Word goes on to say that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus said, I didn't come on a mission of condemnation. God loves the people, so I came in order to give my life a ransom for many. Whoever believes that good news, this is the proclamation of the highest, that he has given his Son, Jesus the Christ, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. In other words, what does that perish mean? That doesn't just mean go to the grave. You know what? The grave will be the least of your problems if you show up in the presence of Almighty God with no covering from his Son, Jesus the Christ. No matter who you are and what you have believed or been taught or anything, I want to let you know that the validation that God put on the message that I am giving you right now is the good news of the gospel that he loved the world and he gave his son, Jesus, the Christ. So that whosoever, that means any of you, anywhere, today if you can hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart against the truth of God. Not because Pastor Fisher said it, but because Almighty God said it. That I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten son. That whosoever, anybody around this planet, anywhere, who can hear my voice, no matter who you are either saved today or you're lost today. You have two places where you can be, saved or lost. The ones who are saved are those who believe the gospel. They gather with Christ. In other words, they walk by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the only one that can save anyone. And why should we trust him? You might say, well, why should I trust Jesus? Why don't I trust this, that, or the other? Or why don't I, there's so many questions you might ask. Well, I want to make that real plain for you this morning. God loves you. He configured the world around his son. He's commanded his church to go and teach. That's why I'm here teaching this morning, to let you know God loves you. He's given Christ, centered the world around him to make it easy for you to believe what I'm saying. And he said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See, and God doesn't want you to harden your heart. He wants you to accept the truth and you can trust that Jesus is the only one who can save you because he's the only one that got up out of the grave according to the scriptures. 3 days and three nights he got out the grave and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And the only thing that was necessary to shut down the preaching of the gospel produced that dead body. You know what? That didn't happen. And the reason it didn't happen is because Jesus got off the grave and shook off death and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That good news we call the gospel. And therefore, if you believe him, he has given the promise that whosoever believes in him will not perish. To perish, let's talk about that one more minute here before I get to this text. I want you to understand that to perish doesn't just mean to die and go into a grave. That's physical perishing. Perishing has to do with coming under the wrath of an almighty and holy God. That's what it has to do, because God is not happy with sin at all. He is angry, the Bible says, with sinners every day. But at the same time, he has always done everything he does from a motive and an attitude of love. And this is why he sent people out to preach to the rest of the people, those who believe, that whoever else in the world comes to the place where you believe God and you trust that he's given his son, Jesus the Christ, and he proved that he was God by raising him from the dead, when you get that revelation, when you understand that, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your perspective. It's going to bring you out of that family of the lost who are subject to the judgment of God, because God is holding back, and he's a holy and righteous God. Therefore, he must judge sin. If he hasn't done it yet, it's because the time has not come on his clock. But there's coming a day that God will judge sin. And you know what? You don't want to be on the side of his judgment. So that's why the word says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And that's what it will be that keeps a lot of people from the blessing of God. They're going to harden their heart. They're going to say, I don't believe that same thing happened with Pharaoh over in the book of Exodus. He had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to change and trust the God of Israel, who is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is the creator of all things. And he had the nerve to come against Moses, his servant. God sent his servant Moses to tell him to let my people go so that they might come and worship me. And I speak to whatever evil force might be in your life holding you back from hearing what I'm saying today. Whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, I speak against it right now in your life. Whether it's drugs, I speak against it in your life. Whether it is ideologies or philosophies or any of these things that will hold you back from receiving the blessing of God, I speak against it today. God loves you. He can break the chains of anything that might be binding you off your life. And I know that there are millions of witnesses who can tell you that what I'm saying is so. I'm one myself. I can only speak for myself. That God can give you some freedom that you couldn't get any other kind of way. And you know what? He's anxious to bless you with freedom, moral freedom, mental freedom, financial freedom, all manner of freedom. God is the God of freedom. That's why he made everything the way he did. He gave man dominion. That's how you know he's the God of freedom. I made it all. And I put man in it last to show how much I love you. I give you dominion over everything I made in the heavens and the earth. And then when sin came in, which God knew about, it wasn't a surprise. God was not surprised when the devil came to deceive Eve. He was not surprised. He knew about it. And this is one of the great mysteries in the world, is that God knew already what would happen. And you know what he did? Once the man sinned, that's when the offense took place, when Adam sinned willfully against God, not when Eve was deceived by the devil. And that's because God wants man to have freedom. Adam sinned. We don't know exactly why, but the whole problem with sin has now snowballed into this mess that's in the world today. And let me tell you, it's a mess. It's a horrible mess. And the only one who can fix it is Almighty God. And you know what? He gave the fix right in the middle of this mess. It was when he sent his son, Jesus, that came to his own, but his own received him not, as it says in the Gospel of John. He brought people out for his own possession, like he started to do in the days of Abraham, and made a people out of a person who had no seed, a Gentile, Abram, called out of Ur of the Chaldees, a Gentile. They brought forth a people that are more numerous than the sands of the seashore and the stars of heaven. Bought out the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes. So he could send his son, Jesus, through that line in order to bless the whole world of whosoever believes in him. And God is now today proclaiming to you through my voice that Jesus, his son, is the king. And he always has been the king, I want to let you know. He got off of his kingly throne, came on a mission through 42 generations, from Abraham clear on up to the Virgin Mary, where he was born. And he told you last week that he came from the stability of perfection and face-to-faceness with God, and was born placed in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. We looked at that on last week when we talked in the message, from stable to stable, where Jesus was laid in a stable. This is the great Christmas story that so many don't really understand. We turn Christmas into a commercial thing. They're already talking about Black Friday and all of that. We skip Thanksgiving because, you know what, we're not grateful to Almighty God, and we ought to be. It's amazing. We had Black Halloween yesterday, I want you to know, because the plague is sweeping through the land, and people still won't wake up and understand the goodness and the mercy of God. God loves what he's given his son and allowed him to be the most famous. I don't care what you hear on TV or what you hear on the Emmys or the Grammys, all of that. Those people, and they're all right, I'm not knocking them, but I want you to know, Jesus, God's son, is the most famous human being in the history of time. He is now, he was yesterday, and he will be tomorrow and forever. And he came for the purpose of blessing me and you with perfect salvation, so we don't have to worry about this mess. When I say this mess, I'm talking about everything that upsets you, the things that give you fears at night, the things that you lay awake and sometimes can't go to sleep because it's rumbling around in your mind, the things about your own life and your own past, and what is the outcome going to be on all these things? That's the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus that can settle all of that for you once and for all and give you an understanding that you have been made right with his Father, Jesus, Father who is God, Almighty. And he did that because he loves you. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Paul put it this way, speaking to the Philippians. He said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant, and was found in fashion as of a man. And he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So everything is going to culminate. And what do you do with Jesus? Isn't that an interesting thought? And I want you to know God loves you. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to bless you with an understanding of what you can do to know for sure and have peace that passes all understanding. To have peace like a river. To have joy in your soul no matter what's going on here on planet Earth. And there's plenty of stuff going on, I guarantee you. God has nothing to do with it. And people are saying he does. But you need to wake up and smell the coffee and understand God has given Jesus to Christ, his son, in order to bless the world. And he is the way, as he says in John 14:6, the truth and the life. No one will come to the Father without him. If you don't know him, I invite you today, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says you shall be saved. Now, I want to say this as we look at a text that I want to set before you here. Time's getting away. And do want you to understand some things here this morning, just before we dismiss. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus began to discuss the character of the world in the end times. He had just made a march through he was actually in the temple, and he came out from the Temple Mount, and his disciples began to show him the buildings of the temple, which were in Jerusalem, which were very, very awesome to look at, I'm sure. Of course, that temple was destroyed in 70 AD, according to the prophecy of Jesus, and has been no temple for the Jews there since then. And that was according to the prophecy of Jesus, that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles, which is still going on this second, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That time is going on right now. There's talk in the news about stuff stirring in Jerusalem. And even though he was rejected by his own, God will still fulfill the promises that he made to Abraham. And they're still in progress. Even through Gentile domination for 2,000 years, since 70 AD until today. God's promises will be fulfilled, and those who trust God will have insight, and we've been talking about this in previous lessons, that no one else has. You know why? Because if you don't believe God, why should he reveal a secret to you? Let me ask you the question. If you don't trust that he gave his son like he promised, and is the greatest fact in human history, right now today, I didn't make it up, it's true. And if you want to check it, you don't need to check it. It's true. It's in your face. I don't have to even say anything about it. It's 2020 based on the birth of Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Every second on the clock, even that hour you got back last night, is based on Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, no one else. And so God has put him in your face and in your life, and the only thing you need to do to be right is believe him. Trust him. Know that if he had not gotten out the grave, there would be no church, no reason to preach. Nothing to preach with a dead Jesus, but Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive and well. And he is here today for you. If you believe the good news that God gave his son to save you from all of this mess, any of this mess, whatever mess is bothering you, Jesus is able to save you from it. He's the only one who can save you from it. And he'll save you out of it. He'll bring you out of that kingdom of darkness. And you'll be translated into the kingdom of his beloved son, God's beloved son. Jesus the Messiah is a focal point of whether you're saved or you're lost. And so we preach that gladly and proudly. And I want you to know God loves you. That's the reason why he did what he did. And he said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. His disciples wondered about the things Jesus said. When he was coming out of the temple there in Matthew chapter 24, in a passage of scripture known commonly as the Olivet Discourse, it says here, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, which is the meeting place Jesus and his disciples met many times, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They want to know all that stuff you said. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many. And because iniquity shall abound, that's what I'm talking about, this mess here. Because iniquity shall abound, iniquity is inbuilt sin that comes in every person when they're born. And when it grows out of not being put in check by Almighty God and His Spirit, it does ugly things, and that's what you and I are experiencing a great deal of this year. You may have personally experienced the bad effects of iniquity in your soul. I know I have, and I confess openly. There's some ugly stuff in my soul that wants to raise up and run things, and that's the fallen spirit of fallen man. And Paul even said, woe is me. Now, I'm going to Isaiah now. He said it too, though, but let me back up and get Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips. You can go on through and through, and you'll find that the people who really know God know how unrighteous they are. They know about iniquity. They know that it's built in me. David even said, behold, I was born in sin, and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, in Psalms 51. And so I want you to see something, beloved. That's a problem. That's why we have so much mess in the world. That's why there's sin running rampant throughout the world right now, because of the iniquity of fallen man. Jesus said, when you're not in check by God, that iniquity is going to take over and overrun you, and we're seeing it right now, and it's subject to get worse any second or any day. But the way you put it in check, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. The Holy Spirit will be given to you by God's grace. And the forgiveness that is paid for by Jesus the Messiah will be given to you by God's grace. Because God so loved you that he gave Jesus, his King, his Son, in order for him to be able to provide you and me with eternal life, which is not time, it's not an amount of time, beloved. Eternal life is a relationship with me and Holy God. It's a relationship with you and Holy God. And it cannot be had, don't let anybody fool you, it cannot be had apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary's cross about 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross, as it had been written in the scripture for generations from the days of Moses, clear on up until that time, that Jesus the Christ, the King, the Son of God, that was the accusation they put on the cross. Jesus, the King of the Jews. And he came and he was crucified because of the iniquity of the world and even of his own people. That's why the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God. Even those that believe on his name, I want you to know today that you have the right to be called the children of God if you trust in Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He is the only way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes him, God will grant you salvation. Salvation is deliverance from the wrath of the holy God, who will be angry at everyone who rejects his Son. And his Son is the focal point of salvation. There is no other way. You can't skip Jesus and get to God. Don't say you know God if you don't know Jesus. Because that's a fallacy that cannot be so. And so I want you to know today emphatically and clearly that you're in one of two groups, as we said before. Either you trust Christ and you're saved, you believe that God raised him from the dead, or you're in the other group. And so I want to admonish you, trust Christ today. God gave him so that you and I could believe in him and know that our account is settled and iniquity will never overrun and overrule our lives, even though we struggle with it day by day. Back to Paul, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because he could see the iniquity in his own spirit even after he was saved. You know what? When you get saved, God will turn up the light on how ugly the iniquity that you are dealing with is in your life, and he'll also help you get free from it. He'll break the chains that have bound you for so long and set you free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And it's by his grace that this happens. It's not that we earn it or deserve it. So we need to come humbly before an almighty God who has given us time right now to repent. Repent means I change my mind and I change my direction. I can't do it by myself, but I lean on the everlasting arms of God. And God will bring me safely into his home. That's why the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, but thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because I knew that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the same attitude your wife David had been promised that your son, a son will come out of your loins, who will sit up on your throne, and he will rule in righteousness forever and ever. He is King Jesus, the Messiah. David looked forward to the coming of Christ. You and I look backwards to the coming of Christ. For me and you is history. For David, in the one gone back from the days of the Garden of Eden on up until the birth of Christ, it was prophecy. But to you and me, it is history. Jesus has already come, and he came for you, and to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right or the authority to be called the children of God, even those who believe on his name. So people were able to know it before Christ came, and now it's history. And you have to deny actual history. I'm not talking about hogwash or tainted history. I'm talking about the true history of this world. We got a lot of talk about the history going on now, and perversion of history. The worst perversion of history is the denial of Messiah, King Jesus, the Son of God. And so Matthew here, the king is here. He's come out of the temple. He's telling his disciples in the Mount of Olives, take heed that no man deceives you. That same message I have for you this morning. There's a lot of folks in this world full of deception, and they're motivated by greed, not by the truth. And so you and I need to know. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. A lot of folks say they know Christ, and they have no idea. And they shall deceive many, it says in verse 4, Matthew 24. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. See, Jesus said, don't be troubled when you hear the wars and the rumors of war. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you to be afflicted. Most of the church doesn't want to talk about this. The affliction of an evil world coming against the true church to afflict you, which will be allowed by God. Nobody wants to preach that one today. But it's the truth. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake, my name's sake. For the name of Jesus is the focal point of salvation. Whoever's not preaching it, you know what? They don't know him. That's why you're not preaching it, because you don't know him. If you don't know him, you're not saved. You can say what you want. You can play a game. You won't fool anybody, because you don't know him if you're not saved. If you're ashamed of his name, you know what? He's ashamed of yours. And really, you're in the wrong camp, and I want to warn you today, get on the right side of Holy God. One way to do it, trust in the name of his Son, Jesus the King, and you shall be saved. God raised him from the dead, so he's the only one with that credential in order for you to be saved. Now, a lot of folks talk about God today. I like to mention it because they always want to say, oh, you believe in God. You know, but you don't know God if you don't talk about Jesus, because Jesus is God's representative, and he is the only one through whom anyone can be saved. He's the only mediator between God and men. Jesus said, you cannot come to the Father except by me. So if you are not talking about Jesus, you are not talking to the Father. The Father does not know you from where you came from. Without the Son, it's necessary that you understand that Jesus is the Christ, that he loved you, he gave his life for you. But he goes on to say, this is going to be the attitude of the world against the true believers. Verse 11, Matthew 24, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and I'm backing up to 10, I think I skipped 10, and then shall many be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. So you're going to see rising hatred like what we see in our culture right now. Hatred is going rampant. Can't even do stuff decently. You know why? Because hatred is running rampant, because folk don't know Jesus. They don't know the king. They're arguing about who's going to run it down here. But you don't know who runs it from up there. And he runs it well, and you can't skip it. If you're skipping it, that's why you're running around worried about who's running it down here. Because that's not going to get you anywhere. The fact is that one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's move along. My time is burning up. It says here, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and all these are only the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get worse from here. I know you don't want to hear that. Everybody wants to hear something happy. But you know what I want to hear? When the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible. And that means the ones who have trusted Christ shall rise first, the Bible says. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, therefore, comfort ye one another with these words. You ought to find that comforting. Some people say, well, I'm just worried about that. Well, you need to get in your Bible, get on your knees, get on your face before Almighty God, because I'm preaching the truth. And we need to understand that the truth will make you free, Jesus said. Let me go on back here. And he says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound. That's what we were talking about. That inborn sin is driving a lot of people. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. You see now how inclusive that is? And then the end shall come. So I'm preaching to the world. Whoever you are, God loves you. He's given Christ Jesus, his son, the focal point of human history for you. Jesus died and got up out of the grave with all authority and all power in heaven and earth given to him. He is the coming King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what? He has always been the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's his grace that allows this world to go on the way it is and to give people time to go through a course of normal life. Hear the good news. I'm sending people to preach to you the good news. It's not bad news. I'm telling you the absolute good news. God loves you. Whatever mess you're in, he's able to get you out, and he wants you to be saved. That's why he gave his son. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he doesn't care what color you are, how old you are, any of that, no caveats, any person on the planet hearing the message that believes shall be saved. That's God's decree. And so I have good news for you today. King Jesus wants to save you, and you can be saved if you put your trust in him. So the stability of Almighty God, who became man to express his love for mankind in a way that was so profound, predicted through prophecies in great detail and precision, his birth to a virgin. God predicted the birth of his son to a virgin for the purpose of providing his son, Jesus, as the only and perfect mediator and king to be preached to all people everywhere on earth, began with his birth in a stable, but culminates with King Jesus enthroned in glory over all creation. That's where everything is headed. You ought to be happy about that. You can still pursue things in this world, but you'll do it better if you know that you're saved. You'll do it better because you won't be worried about stuff in this world if you know you're saved. You know what? If you're not saved, you're heading for great destruction and judgment from a holy God. But the scripture says that, what would a man be profited, Jesus says, Matthew 16 and 26, if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The fact is, if you could trade in your soul for a bunch of junk or some party or some political process or any of that, but I prefer, and God prefers, that you trust the real King, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he will give you peace like a river, the Bible says. If that passes all understanding, you won't even understand. How am I going through the craziness and I'm still good? I can keep myself together even through trouble, pressure, danger, seen and unseen. And the fact is, God loves you and he wants you to be saved. So I'm here to let you know clearly today that there's one way to be saved, that is through Jesus the Christ. You're in one group or the other. If you don't believe him, you're in the group of the lost. There are only two groups in the world. If you do love him, you're in the group of the saved. And I want you to know, God wants you to be in the group of the saved. He loves you. He's given his son to you. He paid a great price in order to have a relationship with you, which is known as eternal life. Jesus said this in John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So that's it. It's the relationship that you have with Almighty God that you can only have through his son, Jesus the Christ.
And God is saying, trust him. Believe him. Lean not to your own understanding. You don't even need to figure it out. Just believe the gospel. It's good news. And no matter what you have done, no matter who you are, no matter how high in the world you may be or how low, God loves you and he's given his son, the Christ, to settle that debt and to take all that anxiety and pressure out of your life because I love you just like you are. And I love you too much to leave you that way. So if you believe him today, if you will hear his voice, I'm saying it, but it's his voice because it comes from his word. Do not harden your heart. Trust Christ today. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to know it. And he wants to be an active part of everything in your life, everything that goes on, everything in your life at all. And you know what? He's doing it anyway because he has kept you all the way till today. Whatever you did, whatever you went through, God has kept you all the way through today. Up to this very second, if you can hear my voice, he has blessed you no matter what kind of a mess you've been in or what you're going through. He has blessed you and loved you and given you the opportunity to hear his message clearly preached to you today that I love you and I've given Jesus for you. Please accept his mercy and his love. Take Jesus to be your personal Savior. Let me move along. We are living in days of great deception, but I want you to see here, Isaiah stated that the zeal of the Lord of hosts is what performed the coming of Christ, that first coming. And you can read about that in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, so that we all can know that the gospel of King Jesus is to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. So no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter how you got there, God loves you and has given Christ for you, and he can save you right now if you trust him. So I hope you will do that right now. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you trust Christ right now and believe that God is raising from the dead. The good news, you shall be saved. Get out of the group of the lost that's perishing and get into the group of the saved that is prospering in Christ, in the blood of Jesus. One more statement I'd like to make. We're living in the days of deceit by the abuse of power and greed, which has brought about denial of the total sufficiency of God by way of his son Jesus, the only perfect king, who is to be extolled in righteousness to every nation under heaven. You know what we're worried about? How we can bomb other nations, cheat other nations, talk about other nations, dominate other nations, rather than tell the nations the good news about God's son, Jesus the King, the Christ. And that's where I'm focused. And this ministry will be focused right there until the trumpet sounds. So I want to let you know God loves you today, beloved, whoever you are. Whatever you're going through, he knows about it. If you're still breathing, it's because he allowed it. If you're going through tribulation and trials, he knows about it and he is able to help. He said he will take you through the valley of the shadow of death so that you can fear no evil, because he will be with you if you believe in the name of Christ, his son. The tragedy of Israel, as I take my seat, Israel is the covenant people. God has chosen them, selected them, and he actually created them out of the seed of Abraham. And my time's about gone. So you're going to have to read this other text here in 2 Chronicles. It's tragic to read 2 Chronicles 36 and find out about the demise of Israel. Now, Israel will always be in God's blessing because they will eventually accept Christ. And that's what we see setting up right now in the news, is they are setting up for a false Christ who the Bible clearly prophesied who will come and say that he is the Christ. There will be great and massive deception in a temple that is going to be built any day now. Expect to see it coming in the news any day. And people are setting up and making steps to agree 2 Chronicles 36 as a conclusion, because I'm not going to be able to talk with you about it this morning in the time that we have. But keep your eye on Israel, because God is still working on Israel. He has promises to them that he will yet fulfill. And today, if you're in Israel, or if you're a Jewish person, God loves you. He's given his Messiah, and his Christ has already come. Many of the Jews do believe Christ, and whoever believes Jesus Christ shall be saved. Doesn't mean you mention his name and then go put your trust in some earthly situation. The fact is, if you trust Christ, you are trusting in his Father, God Almighty. Jesus is Messiah, the Prince, and at the right time, God will see him to be the King of Kings
in the Lord of Lords. So I hope that this message in some way has blessed you this morning. It was my pleasure and my privilege to preach it to you. And I want you to know just as we close, God loves you. If you want to be saved and know it, please pray with me. Lord God, in the matchless name of Jesus the King, your Son, the risen Savior, I come today, Father, I repent. I turn my mind from whatever else I may ever have trusted in over to your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness, and above all to your Son, Jesus, who you raised out the grave so that I can know that I have eternal life. Father, please forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, deliver us. Open our minds and our thoughts so that we might walk by faith and not by sight. Teach us your word. Oh God, help us to learn to meditate therein day and night. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and the glory. Let the blessings of the fathers and the mothers overflow onto the children, Lord God, in the households that are asking Christ to come in right now. And take over, Lord God. Have your way in our lives. We thank you today, God, and we give you praise and glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody who prayed that prayer and all those who were praying for you as you prayed it said, amen. Amen. We thank God for you. And we hope you are saved at this point. Amen. Hallelujah.